I want to talk this morning about the joy of the Lord. I'm going to start in Nehemiah. This is where that verse we all know of. We remember part of it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But I want you to get an understanding of the setting where this statement was taken place. In Nehemiah 8, the people have dedicated the temple after the exile from Babylon. And they offered sacrifices. They made a platform where Ezra, who's the chief priest, was. And he's sharing with people, and he's telling them, and he's up on a platform, and they're standing there. And the scripture says they stood from the early morning until noon, standing there the whole time, and reading from the book of the law, reading from the scriptures. And starting at verse 6, says, "Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathiah, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jehozabad, Hanan, and Peliah. And the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped to understand that reading." These days, you go to a church and they've got more than one speaker, you start saying, this is starting to take a while. Or not you, me. If they got a whole bunch of people, sometimes are not real patient. But here are these people who had been in exile for 70 years. And from the scripture, they know that it's because of continued sin within the land that God gave the land a Sabbath rest. And they were in captivity for 70 years. And when they came back, and they finally got the temple built, and some wept because the temple was so much smaller than it had been before, those that remembered it from what it was like before. But they sat there and they read from the law, and these preachers sat there and explained, gave them a sense, it says in verse 8, and helped them to understand the reading. So explain the scriptures to them. And in verse 9, "And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep.' For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Stop right there for just a minute. As they came to understand their sin, as they came to understand the sin of the nation, as they came to understand that the things that they had gone through were consequences of the sin that had not been dealt with, and they wept, and they were just broken because of the holiness of God and the righteousness of God and their sin. But then in verse 10, he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites quieted all the people and said, "Be still, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." Then all of the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and rejoiced greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. The words that were declared to them were, "You were sinners, yet God has made salvation and God has made deliverance on your behalf." He read the words from the scripture. All of these different ministers, all of these different priests helped them understand what the scripture had said. And as they were broken in their heart because of their sin, they were broken in their heart because of the sin of their nation, and had come in repentance and the deliverance of God, he said, "Rejoice. Do not weep. This day is holy unto the Lord. God has delivered you and God has brought you out." God has done that in each and every one of our lives as well. when we came to recognize our sin, when we came to recognize our shortcomings, when we came to recognize our failures, and finally surrendered our hearts to the Lord, come to acknowledge that we were sinners in need of a Savior. And the joy of the Lord, the joy of His salvation, the joy of His deliverance is what carries us along. The joy of the Lord is our strength, knowing that no matter what we face or what we encounter as we go through our lives, God is the one watching over us. We are bought with a price. We are no longer our own. We belong to Him. That song, "Come Worship the Lord, for we are His people. We are the flock that He shepherds," taken directly from the Psalms. God has watched over us. God has kept us. God has brought us out of darkness. God has delivered us. God has set us free. And when we come face to face with the fact that we were sinners in need of a Savior and He has saved us, it should bring rejoicing and joy in the Lord. In Isaiah 61, verse 10, says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God. For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As the bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so our God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth among all nations. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord because He has clothed me with garments of salvation." I will rejoice in the Lord because I'm not the person that I used to be. Praise God. I am not who I was. I've been bought with a price. I've been made new. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am not bound by the things I used to do. I am not enslaved to any of that anymore. God is has made me new and is continuing to work in it. And I can rejoice no matter what our circumstances are. We were talking earlier about the experience yesterday of having the truck break down. But being able to rejoice in that, while it was an inconvenience, it wasn't a crisis because of things that God has done in my life. Because I've learned in all things to give thanks. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. Concerning me. In all things give thanks. And look for things in the midst of it to just give praise to God. I got to share with a bunch of people yesterday as they stopped and offered to help that God had given me peace, that God is still worthy to be praised in the midst of it. People I never would have encountered, or I don't know that I ever would have encountered, had I not been broke down on the side of the road. I broke down and within minutes. One guy showed up, started trying to help me out, called his friends, drove me to a couple of auto parts stores, called a diesel mechanic he knew, made all these contacts for me. God was at work. It didn't go according to my plan, but God was at work, and it wasn't a surprise to the Lord because He had several people stop and say, "Hey, can I help you?" And I got a chance to share, and I got a chance to say that God is gracious, and I got a chance to say that I'm at peace, and I got a chance to demonstrate that just because things aren't going according to plan doesn't mean we need to freak out. God is still God. He's still in control. He's still taking care of us. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I thank God I'm not the person that I used to be. I thank God I'm not in the condition, the situations that I used to be. The last time I'm trying to think. No, it's not the last time I broke down out of state. But there was one time I broke down out of state, or we broke down out of state, as Deb and I were with us. And we had to get a transmission rebuilt while we were attending a conference. And we didn't have the money to pay for it and had to put it on a credit card, which led to a chain of debt that kept us in bondage for a number of years, which ultimately brought us to the point where we said, "Hey, we need help." And found out through a brother in the Lord about Dave Ramsey and started the plan that ended up getting us out of debt. Following the plan, following the thing. And now, you know, it's an inconvenience, but praise God, if I have to get the truck replaced, We can replace the truck. It won't be new, I guarantee you, but we can replace the truck if it comes down to it. Because provision has been made. And I can't take credit for that. God saw the end from the beginning and has been at work the whole time directing our steps. So I can rejoice that no matter what happens, God has known about it and has been directing us. In Habakkuk 3, verse 17, and pretty sure we read this in Bible study not too long ago. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, for I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me to walk on my high hills. Though everything be falling apart, though nothing be going according to plan, though we find nothing but difficulty, still God has saved us, God is at work in us, and God is worthy of praise, and we can rejoice in the God of our salvation. Because we look at things different. We experience things different than what we were when we were so selfish and bound in our own ways. We know the grace and love and mercy of God, that all this life is temporary. However many days we have are just a few in comparison to eternity with the Lord. Job said, man born of woman is few days and full of trouble. However long our life is, it is just, John Bevere says, and is driven by eternity. It's not, it doesn't even hit the scale. You know, when you compare 120 years to eternity, it's not even a blip. It's the blink of an eye. It's not even measurable at such a minor period of time. Yet we have that time with the Lord because He has saved us, because He has delivered us, and we can rejoice no matter what's going on, because I remember back when I was in the Navy, I was getting close to the end of my tour. I was getting ready to get out. Things were getting, you know, we called us short timers. We have just a short time left on the clock until we're done with this thing. And it was a common thing. I can do 2 weeks standing on my head. Could we really do 2 weeks standing on our head? No, but that was the thing. It's not, the amount of time that's left on that tour is inconsequential compared to what's next. The amount of time we walk through this life, while how we live and how we act set up the rewards and everything in heaven, how we go through our life makes a difference. But when it comes down to it, the time we have is very, very minor. You talk to people that have looked at I don't remember exactly the setting, but somebody looking at a headstone, and you see a date of birth and a date of death and a dash. And that dash is all you've got to make a difference. But that dash is real small. Our life is short. So whatever we have to go through in this life, recognize that God is at work in us and God is leading us through it. And we can rejoice and find joy in the God of our salvation, no matter what our circumstances are. Acts 20, beginning with verse 22. Paul is on the outskirts of Ephesus talking with the elders of the church. He says, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, whatever comes, I know it's God that's bringing me through this. He said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. People kept trying to warn him. One person took Paul's belt and wrapped his hands and says, thus shall the person who wears this be bound when he gets to Jerusalem. Paul knew that there was hardship coming. Paul knew that there was persecution. Paul knew there were chains and tribulation coming. But he also knew that it was God's will and God's plan to bring him through that. And he said, I don't let these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, verse 24, so that I may finish my race with joy, trusting that God is the one at work. And God has done that in our lives. When we see, when we face difficulties and yet see little glimpses of God at work, we know God is directing our steps. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his mighty hand. God's word tells us this. That he's the one who directs our steps. He's the one who leads us. He's the one who watches over us. So whatever we face, whatever we encounter, know that God is right there with us. And we can rejoice in the joy in the God of our salvation because of what he's done, what he continues to do in us. 1 Thessalonians 1, beginning with verse 2. Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy in the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. You received the word with joy in the middle of the tribulation, in the middle of your persecutions, in the middle of your problems. You were able to rejoice. And in doing that, you became examples to those around you. Do you know why we go through things? You know why we go through difficulties? Well, one thing, because everybody goes through difficulties. But in going through difficulties, if we can do it with the grace and love and mercy of God, if we can walk through it rejoicing, it catches people's attention. What is different? What is going on? How can you be happy? How can you be joyful in the midst of persecution, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of problems? Because the things that we go through here are just short-lived. It's just for a little time. Yet God continues to give us the strength. God continues to pour His love into us and continues to show us His mercy so that we can rejoice no matter what our situations are, because God has already promised to cause all things to work together for good to them who love the Lord and to those who are called according to His purpose. I have no doubt there's a calling on my life. I have no doubt that God loves me. He has proved it over and over and over and over again. So I can rejoice in that, even when there's difficulties, even when there's problems. Even when my car is in a ditch right up the road here and somebody else totals my car when it's in the ditch. That was not a fun day. But you know what? I can rejoice in the God of my salvation. Even when my truck is up on a flatbed getting towed, I can rejoice in the God of my salvation because it could have been a lot worse. Absolutely. There was a time when I had a truck break down when I had my fifth wheel camper on the back of it. 13,500 pounds. What do you do? On an off ramp, getting off the highway, break down. And yet God allowed that truck to start up again and go just far enough to get into a parking ride. It was absolutely dead, should not have started at all. God started it, got me off the road. God made provision. In our lives, God makes provision if we will open our eyes to see His hand at work, and we can rejoice in the God of our salvation, knowing He is taking care of us. He is at work in us, even when things don't seem to be going right. God is still God, and God is still in control. Final passage of Scripture, Luke 10, beginning with verse 17. Jesus has sent out 70 disciples and told them to go out, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. Verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Even when we're on top of the world and everything is going right, and it seems like a wonderful thing, remember, our joy and our rejoicing should be in the fact that God has us engraved in the palm of His hands. That a holy God who created the heavens and the earth, who knit us together in our mother's womb, knows everything about us, knows our past, our present, and our future, loves us and drew us to Himself. We can't even take credit for that. It wasn't my plan, because Jesus said, no one can come to me except my Father draw them. But we can be grateful and rejoice in the fact that He saw fit to draw us to Himself. And we can joy in the God of our salvation. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You. We do thank You, Father, for Your joy. We thank You, Father, for Your mercy. We thank You, Father, for Your love. We thank You, Lord, that You are at work in our hearts and in our lives, Father, that You have saved us from darkness, that You have a plan and purpose of our lives, and You are at work in us, Father. We thank You, Lord, for this day, and Father, that's the fresh and new opportunity. Your word says Your tender mercies are fresh and new each morning. This morning, Your tender mercies were fresh and new in my lives and in the lives of each and every one of us. Father, that You've shown Yourself mighty, that You brought us salvation, that You brought us out of darkness. Even as we look in Your word and we recognize the manner of people that we were, and recognize that in our own strength we have no way to come before a holy God, yet You made a way. You sent Your Son. You sent and made a way for salvation, made a way of reconciliation, made a way of adoption, that we might be called the children of the living God. Father, we so thank You. And we are so grateful for Your love and for Your mercy. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.